Hey everyone, thanks for checking out the Ira Kaufman podcast. If it's your first time, welcome. We have a lot of fun here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper from JoeBucksFan.com joins us, and the star of the show is Mr. Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter. He's been with JoeBucksFan.com exclusively for almost a year. We're going to have an anniversary episode for Ira next week. Should be a lot of fun, a little bit different. So something to look forward to there. But today, Dirk Cutter, the head coach of the Buccaneers, part five on the Ira Kaufman podcast. We get into some neat stuff. And of course, there is no podcast, none whatsoever. There's no Ira on JoeBucksFan.com without the great folks at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. I'm here to tell you that at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, when Ed Morse Cadillac challenges other dealerships, you win by taking home the summer's best. Don't miss the Ed Morse Summer Sales Challenge. Drive off in a powerful 2017 Escalade for just $709 or Escalade ESV, now just $739 a month. Let us impress you at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com. For all for details, call 844-746-0513 and see dealer for all the details. The offer expires at the end of the month. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, they too, they're also having a summer's best sales event. A new 2017 Cadillac ATS Coupe, just $399 a month, luxury edition. All the details are at the dealer. Please visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Of course, those two dealerships, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, they're the only dealerships, the only Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County. And we appreciate that they present all of Ira's work, his Monday, Wednesday, and Friday columns on JoeBucksFan.com and the very popular, the boomingly popular, if there is such a word, podcasts here on JoeBucksFan.com, also at iTunes every Tuesday and Thursday. So let's get over to the custodian. He's finished chewing his food here. He looks fired up even though it's mid-July. He's raring to go. Thursday, July 13th, Mr. Kaufman, 2 weeks from reporting. That means you only have 2 weeks left to drink lots of Riesling. Let me say, Ira, one of the comments on iTunes basically defended your desire to drink Riesling and that it's a very sophisticated taste and went all completely off on your Riesling. This is how closely people listen.
Did that come from Venezuela?
I have no idea. I don't know. Yes.
Now, Lee, that means that Gerald McCoy has 2 weeks to get that bathrobe through dry cleaning, get it nice and fresh. Because he's going to come in, and we'll see if he comes in slippers and a bathrobe this year.
Well, I still want to find out if Ira's getting any listeners from the Vatican.
No, I checked. No listeners from the Vatican.
He did check.
Although we continue to grow in Mexico, which I don't understand. And Javier in Panama is obviously not telling any friends about the Ira Kaufman podcast, or they're not interested because our numbers are flat. We only have either one or two listeners in Panama, which
if
is probably Javier.
If you're listening in Panama, tell a friend, not we?
What about New Zealand?
It's probably Javier twice when we do have two people in Panama, but you never know. You never know.
Javier twice.
All right. So, Ira, look, here we are 2 weeks away. And when I say comment, I'm talking about people who leave comments on iTunes or at Podbean, where your podcasts are listened to mostly, actually. Most people listen there. And leave a comment. We like it. Ira likes it. It motivates him to great lengths. He starts typing more. It's great. He doesn't eat all the food at Joe Bucks Fan World headquarters because he's less stressed. It's fantastic.
Ira's almost obsessed with his little competition with Pawlowski. You got a Pawlowski picture in your office
Absolutely. To
motivate you.
You know, and he's going to have to come on our podcast once in a while too, Steve, and even up the score a little bit. Why not?
That's fine. Maybe we'll do it August 5th, actually. We'll get a cut live from training camp takeover day, which is Saturday, August 5th.
My wife's thinking about coming out on August 5th. What would be your advice to her?
Is
she going to be safe out there?
I was going to say, bring arm guards.
She will be safe with the stick carriers. Stick carriers are good people. But you know what? There's going to be 1,000 non-stick carriers out there who are going to be indoctrinated and learning the ways. And let's face it, it's 8:45 in the morning. It's not going to be a lot of alcohol flowing, which makes the stick carriers into a wild and crazy
bunch.
How's
she going to feel if the stick carriers start booing the sage? Suppose I walk by and to a chorus of boos, Stephen.
Ira, you're going to be treated to such a chorus of cheers, you're not going to believe it.
And the mainstream media is not going to like that, Stephen.
The cheers will resemble when back in 1949, when you took your shirt off at your high school dance and everyone went nuts. The women
except
were all
Muriel Berkowitz. She said, put it back on.
Now, here's one. I'm just curious. You know, I'm an Android guy on my phones, and I'm checking the comments on Podbean. I didn't know there were any comments. There are.
Okay.
And here's the very first one, Ira. You'll love this. I'm going to read it verbatim. Best Bucks insight and Bucks talk available for podcast. Listening from Dubai, United Arab Emirates, twice a week to keep informed.
Oh, my goodness. He might be up in that the tallest building in the world over there, getting good reception for that podcast, Stephen.
The guy's handle is Perello1221.
Much appreciated, my friend.
There you go,
halfway
Ira.
Around the world.
Your fans in Dubai. All right. So, Ira, look.
Isn't that amazing that we have that kind of technology, Steve? Some guy in Dubai is listening to our podcast and appreciating it.
For a depression era guy like you, it must be amazing.
I mean, I used to file stories for UPI by teletype. I used to type it out on a typewriter. You give it to the operator, and they type it in.
Now, that's a true story you're telling.
That is a true. And then we got the Trash 80.
I remember those. I loved
the
those.
Trash 80s.
Those are just what you
Radio need. Shacks.
Yeah, the only thing you needed. I loved them. I really loved them.
When you
them,
said
man.
Trash 80 and newspapers, I started thinking of the Tampa Bay Times.
Technically, it's TRS 80. Everybody called them Trash 80.
That's a cheap 80s. Shot even for you. How about a little buck talk, Stephen? How about a little buck talk?
Trash 80s, for people who don't know, those were the original laptops.
That's
and
right.
The only thing you could do is file a story on
them. And you could only
serve,
read 7 lines at a time.
Yeah, you couldn't serve, couldn't email, couldn't do anything, but. File a story, and they were fantastic. They were the original laptops.
Steve, what do you got in mind for the Bucks?
Well, we've got a lot going on today. Of course, it's part 5 of Dirk Cutter joining the Ira Kaufman podcast. If you're just listening to us for the first time with these different pieces of Dirk Cutter, go back, catch the previous episodes.
Did you tell Coach Cutter he was going to be chopped into ribbons here and served up 5 different ways? Did you tell him that?
It really wasn't relevant. I mean, he listens to the podcast, which you hear him say in a previous edition. He listens to Bucks Uncensored, which you heard Dirk say previously. He reads JoeBucksFan.com, which you've heard Dirk say, and you'll hear in other episodes coming up.
Don't tell me he knows some of the readers by their handles, Steve. Are you going to go that far?
No, let's not get ridiculous. Ira. The man's not a lunatic. He's the head coach of the
Buccaneers. Did he mention Lord Cornelius last week to you, Steve? I mean,
I can tell you for a fact there are employees at One Buck Palace that know the commenters by name. Steve and I have been approached by suits at One Buck Palace, and they have specifically mentioned commenters by their handle. Specifically.
Is Jason Light going to embrace Javier at training camp? And by the way, is Javier coming?
Lee's comment that he just made also that goes back many, many, many years to past regimes at One Buck. It would be a great chapter in the book if there ever was a Joe Bucks fan book. All right, Ira, enough of that. Now, Dirk Cutter, he likes to play mind games and engage in the sport as a technician in the tactics of mind games. But before we get to Cutter, Jameis Winston is cut from the same cloth. Mike Evans told me that Cutter and Jameis really get into those mind games and the subliminal messages and things like that. I had asked Mike Evans about Dirk Cutter's famous line, "Speak softly and carry a big mother blanket stick," which he was a theme of the week before they beat the Chargers for their 5th win in a row, and what that kind of stuff means to him. I wrote the story for Joe Bucks Fan, and Mike Evans specifically mentioned Jameis, so I think it's important to mention now, Ira, that Jameis, you know, he trains with Tim Grover, who was Michael Jordan's trainer, high-profile guy. Last year, Jameis was in Chicago training with him, and he swears by Tim Grover. Great. So last week, right before July 4th, right before a big party weekend, when your teammates are knee-deep in party mode and vacation, think about that. July 3rd, Jameis posts a video of him and Grover. He's doing chin-ups, pull-ups, he's preparing, he's got things to say, and Tim Grover himself tweets out, you're going to see more of this from Jameis, and he says, quote, even with the Hard Knocks crew filming, Jameis' focus is exceptional, we train at 6 a.m. every day, he's here before me, ready to go. What a statement from Jameis. It feels like a mind game, Ira, that he's trying to send a message to his teammates. And what the hell is Hard Knocks doing with Jameis in early July?
There's so many angles to this, Steve. Let's go over a couple of them. First, the Hard Knocks situation. Lee, it looks like, and I think it's a heck of a good bit of good news for Buck fans, It sounds like Winston's embracing the invasion of privacy slash attention, national attention. Look, he's no dummy. He knows he's going to be a big focus of Hard Knocks. I think it's also an indication of how he feels his off-the-field issues are totally behind him. Mm-hmm. Thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is the time of year when he would have been going to Orlando to a trial. And the three of us would have been going. This is the time.
Excellent point.
Yeah. So it shows that he feels he can make himself available. He's going to sit down for plenty of interviews with those Hard Knocks cameras. And I know you boys will monitor everyone, especially you, DeKemper. You don't miss anything. If a guy says something in Dubuque, Iowa, you got it up in about a minute and a half.
Done right.
And you are outstanding at that. Point two, Steve, the example he's setting for teammates. Well, Lee, isn't this exactly why DeMar Dotson, when I asked him a few weeks ago about comparisons between the 2011 Bucks, and Dotson was here coming off that big season, and the 2017 Bucks coming off a nice season, he goes, absolutely no comparison, and I'll tell you why. Start right there with the quarterbacks. As Steve said, he never mentioned Freeman by name. But what did he say about Winston? This guy works too hard. He's not going to take a step back. He's a natural leader. You can't help but follow the guy. These are words from DeMar Dotson.
Along those lines, Bucks played in Indianapolis a couple years ago. It was Thanksgiving weekend. They were in the game till the second half, and everything went, you know.
This is Jameis' rookie year?
Jameis' rookie year. And for the first few games, win or loss, and you probably know this as well, in a locker room, obviously Jameis always has his press conference. That's NFL bylaws. Quarterback has to have a press conference. But even in the locker room, before he would leave for his press conference, he was always, I don't know if cordial is the right word, but he wasn't combative. Yeah, he was
accommodating
in the locker room.
Yeah.
This was the first time I saw Jameis after a loss. You know how it is, Steve and Ira, you know how it is. You could tell by body language if a guy wants to talk or not from 10 feet away. Jameis was sitting at his chair in front of his locker, head down, kind of face palm.
Back to you.
Back to you. And he saw me coming. He kind of like looked up at me. He didn't give me a dirty look, but you just tell he does. He's not in a talking mood. So I backed off.
So you moved
anyway,
on.
I heard all these stories about what we know is commonplace now. That Jameis is the leader. The stuff he does out, you know, this Tim Grover stuff. I went to a veteran defensive player, completely off the record. So I'm not even going to mention his name, but I would say he was a veteran defensive player. And I asked him. I said, "Hey, level with me. All this stuff I hear about Jameis being a leader, blah, 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 blah. Is that hype?" Because remember, the Bucks put the same nonsense out there about Josh Freeman, which we found out was just that, nonsense. And so I was a bit skeptical.
They talked up Freeman's work ethic quite a bit
all the
after
way
the 2010 season.
Starting with Brian Glazer
and
all the way down.
I believe it, too. I mean, something happened with the guy. You don't just have a great season.
And to be fair, during the 2011, the lockout, Freeman was organizing a lot of activities. You got to give him that.
And how difficult was that? Like
calling
up a couple guys?
But he did it. But he did.
Yeah, but he did. Okay. Yeah, and you're being fair, and I agree with that. Anyway, I asked this veteran defensive player, all the stuff I hear about Jameis, is that just nonsense? Is that hype? What about it? Dude almost fell over backwards in his chair, looked up at me, glared at me. Then started pointing wildly at Jameis. Mind you, this guy's completely on the other side of the locker room from Jameis. He's pointing wildly at Jameis. He's like, "We needed that guy." Like, whoa. And when he said that, I was like, well, the way he did it, very, not violently, but very, I mean, over the top.
Are you sure he wasn't pointing at Ira?
No, Ira wasn't at that game.
Steve, I want to amplify what Mr. DeKemper was saying. Look, I have done a Rotary Club on occasion. You know, whether it's Hudson, Newport Richie, Land O'Lakes, or whatever. And at no fee. But it'll cost you a lunch, Lee. It's understood. It's a beet salad.
It's understood.
Beet salad's, one of the requirements.
It's understood.
And I've gotten a lot of questions about Winston the last couple of years, obviously. And a lot of people want to know, along what Lee was saying, is it an act? Is it genuine? And I go back to one thing. And I think it's a good barometer. You tell me. The guy that won me over in terms of Jameis Winston being genuine, Logan Mankins.
Yeah.
And by that I mean a guy who's seen it all, played with maybe the greatest quarterback of all time for a long time.
And greatest coach.
And greatest coach, arguably. Played in all kinds of big games. But when you mentioned Jameis Winston to Logan Mankins, Steve, he couldn't stop talking about him.
And he was a quiet guy to begin with.
And he's quiet to begin with. Yeah. And he's not prone to hyperbole.
No, not at all.
Steve, so Logan Mankins, you love that phrase.
Now, every time I think of Mankins, I think of his actually trying to pass off that the lack of barbecues, lack of team barbecues affected play in 2014. But go ahead.
Are you trying to impugn the credibility of one Logan Mankins over there, Steven? I thought it was very interesting and telling that a Logan Mankins, not a second-year guy that's coming up like Winston, some guy that's been there a long time, 6 Pro Bowls, I believe, couldn't stop talking about Jameis Winston. That was good enough for me, Isbits.
All right, Ira, I'm taking you back to this mind game stuff because this is important. You said there's a lot in there about the whole Jameis and his trainer thing. What else do you make of this? Do you believe Jameis is sending a message to his teammates? Look at me doing chin-ups. It's July 4th. Where are you? Do you think he's consciously doing that?
I don't want you reading too much into things, Steve. It's a habit of yours. You do it all the time. You guys had guys traded off the Bucks. Cameron Brate's out of here. You tend to go a little deep, gentlemen.
That was me.
That was you, DeKemper. Nobody said,
nobody said that was happening. O.J. Howard was drafted. We brought up the notion that Brate might be trade bait.
We
especially with the salary cap in a couple of years, way it's going to be.
I'm not taking your crap on this.
You have to take it.
No, I don't. Suppose somebody came up to Jason Light and said, we'll give you a second rounder for Brate. You think Light would have taken it?
You have to take it right now, Isbits, because here's another example. True or false, DeKemper? A couple of weeks ago, Isbits tried to pin me on Jameis Winston's remarks about Dalvin Cook was a horrible slap at Doug Martin. It means that Jameis doesn't want Doug Martin on this football team. And I straightened you out, and the stick carriers backed me up, said I put you in your place. So here I am again, doing the same thing. No, look, when it comes to mind games, Jameis is just a neophyte. Cutter is the master. You know that, Lee. And I'll tell you something. You know what I think is the impetus for this mind game stuff? If Cutter was inclined in that direction, I think what really put him over the top, and he does it all the time now, you're right, that second game against Arizona when they got blown out after a huge win in Atlanta, and who asked Dotson the questions? Probably Isbits, digging for negatives after the game. and Dotson says, I think we were distracted by our week one victory. Yeah, I know you almost dropped your microphone over there.
Digging for negatives? I asked the guy what happened.
And from that moment on, I think Cutter has focused on keeping this team's mind fresh on the task at hand. And judging from a 9-7 season, he's pretty darn good at it, Lee.
The master of the mind games is Belichick. And I'm going to stick up for Steve, the guy who wrote the story about Dalvin Cook, and that was me.
You're 0-2 on that.
I still believe it. I mean, when a guy is lobbying the general manager to draft a running back, what am I supposed to say?
Are you going to let DeKemper take one for the team
I believe it wholeheartedly. Look, Jameis went on radio and said, damn, I was lobbying hard, and the inflection in his voice was there, Ira, lobbying hard to draft Dalvin Cook in the first round. Come on,
yeah,
man.
A running back. Forget the name. Running back. Not an offensive lineman, not a linebacker.
If it was a receiver we're taking in the 19th pick out of Florida State, he would have been yakking about that receiver, too.
They needed a receiver, though.
With all due respect to Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson, he would have been talking up the FSU receiver. That's Jameis.
We will never know, Mr. Kaufman. We will never know.
He bleeds garnet and gold, doesn't
he? Would he be talking up a left tackle? We went down this road before.
All right, let's
throw that out the window. Now,
you didn't see him talking up DeMarcus Walker, did you?
You love this Cutter mind game stuff.
Right. Well, you said Cutter's the master and Jameis is the neophyte. Sure, compared to Cutter, Jameis is a neophyte, but Jameis last year did, he put the handwritten or the typed up letter in everybody's locker, all this other stuff he's done.
He also said everybody needs to take losses as hard as some guys in this room, and not everybody does. He also made that speech.
He's done a lot of things. Now, during our sit down, Ira, I asked Dirk specifically about what Mike Evans said, that he's the master of subliminal messages, and he and Jameis are very good at that, and I asked Cutter if he really gets into that. And Cutter responded, here it is.
You got to keep it fresh, all right? So the season gets long, and it gets redundant. The guys, these are young guys that we're working with. And, you don't have a team of 30-year-olds. You might have a few. Most of these guys are really young guys. So you know, we're just looking for ways to keep it fresh. Even though the information is somewhat similar from week to week, we're just trying to find ways that make sense to them. I mean, these guys don't look at everything the way old men like you three guys look at. You know, they look at things differently. So trust me, on all the stuff, all the subliminal stuff or motivational stuff, I've failed many times. You know, like some of that stuff goes over like a rock. Some of it goes over big. You're never going to hit. Right now we got 90 guys on the team. Eventually we'll have 53. You're never going to hit it perfect home run every time. And but at the same time, I think it's my job to take risks at trying to show these guys different ways of looking at it to get our point across.
So there you go, Ira. Dirk Cutter says, he was very candid there, says that some of the stuff goes over like a rock, and I'll re-quote him. He says, I think it's my job to take risks at trying to show these guys different ways of looking at stuff.
That could be, Steve, that could be a very interesting angle for the Hard Knocks cameras. You know they're going to be there when he addresses this football team, Steve. We don't get to see all the behind-the-scenes stuff that Cutter does in terms of talking to his team directly. I think that's going to be a fascinating part of the Hard Knocks broadcast.
I disagree completely.
Why am I not shocked?
Because I don't think you play mind games in training camp. I don't think that's when you can't go to the well too many times.
Cutter says he's going to be himself, Steve. He's not going to be any different.
Exactly, but I don't think a coach like him is going to be playing a bunch of mind meld tricks on August
10th. Well, you better
10th.
Get him ready for September 11th.
Let me throw one example before we get to Lee. It was last year. I sort of picked up on this. If you notice, the Bucks, you know how they have in the locker room, they've got their TV screens up. Last year, all of a sudden appears the TV screens that usually have the players' schedule on it, you know, lunch, stretching, media time, which half of them don't show up for, all that stuff, right? So this year, with Cutter, you saw the schedule, and then it rotated to an inspirational message. And I first remember seeing it with Jaquizz Rodgers, and it had like a one-liner. I don't remember what it was. And I'm like, Cutter's trying to send these messages with Jaquizz Rodgers.
You mean it was directed to Quiz or
no, it
or
was
he
a,
said it?
On the TV in the locker room was an image of Jaquizz Rodgers bursting through the Carolina defense, and it had a big one-liner on it. I don't remember what it was. So, okay, I made note of that. I wrote about it. But then I forget who I was talking to, and I asked Jaquizz Rodgers about it. I went up to ask him about it. He was a little embarrassed. And one of the reasons he was embarrassed is because Cutter had it installed as the screensaver on every player's Surface device, so they couldn't get away from this thing to see this message.
As opposed to DeKemper's screensaver of Rachel Watson.
Exactly.
Quite a contrast.
Gotta have priorities. But he likes these mind games, but I don't think it's something that would show up in training camp.
You know who did play mind games in training camp? A couple years ago when Parcells was with the Cowboys. Did Hard Knocks? Oh, every other guy he was playing mind games with him.
Yeah.
But
that,
he was a
that's
master.
That's how he was trying to communicate with the players, mm-hmm, through Hard Knocks cameras.
You know another good mind trick, although I don't know if he did it in training camp? Bill Walsh would tell a coach before practice, I'm going to unload on you today. It's not because of you. But I want the players to think, holy smokes, he's killing the coach. I better hustle.
Well, Parcells used to do that with Phil Simms.
Is that right?
Yeah. Killed Phil Simms.
Yeah, I remember telling you that.
But when he killed the coach, Walsh would say to his assistants, I'm going to unload on you today.
And you're going to take it.
Yeah. But I want you to know it because it's not directed at you. It's directed at Joe Montana.
Yeah, I think when Parcells was he GM of Miami at the time? He wasn't coaching.
He was the director of football operations at Miami.
Right. Yeah,
right.
And they went from one win to 11 wins. That was the year
Parcells had a beautiful knack of knowing when to take over a team. Rich Kotite, one win, in comes Parcells. He can't look bad, you know? Hey, I'm Bill Parcells.
And then he walks out the door, right?
Well, he did a great job with the Jets. Got him to, they were leading.
Did an okay job in Dallas. Okay, not bad.
Leading at halftime of the AFC Championship game in 98. Couldn't do it.
Did Parcells not get to a playoff with Quincy Carter at quarterback?
I believe he did.
That says it all.
Yeah, I believe he did.
I'm trying to think of his name now. Oh, yeah. Parcells had a hell of a season with the Jets. I think they were 9-7, I think, with Ray Lucas at quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just stunning.
What's the common denominator with Quincy Black and Ray Lucas?
Rutgers?
Well, there's another one.
I don't know. Quincy Black?
Nose candy.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It was Quincy, wasn't Quincy Black. It was Quincy...
not Quincy Black. Quincy Carter. Quincy Carter.
Quincy Carter.
Yeah, yeah. Lucas.
Excuse me. Not Quincy Black was an underrated linebacker who unfortunately...
Straighten that out.
His career was ended because he had nerve damage in his neck.
He was just starting to really play good football.
He sucked. Happened. Come on.
What? I was right.
Terrible.
When Shiano got hold...
He started playing good football.
When Shiano got hold of him, he was playing good football. That's right.
Thank you, Mr.
He
DeKemper.
Was.
Mirage. Absolute mirage, gentlemen. Mirage.
He played his best football for Shiano.
Why are you fascinated with this Cutter mind game
He
stuff?
Played his best football for Greg Shiano, but it... It still
so
was
bar
was
low. And so did Levante David.
It was such garbage under.
and so did Levante David.
Yes. Shiano knew what he was doing.
Mark
with
Dominic gave Quincy Black $6 million a season. For what? On a prayer.
Which was worse? Him giving Quincy Black a bunch of money or giving.
You're never going to top Michael Clayton.
Yeah, Michael Clayton. Because a wide receiver can block.
You'll never top that.
Yeah, $10 million guaranteed for a receiver who can't catch. Stunning. Yeah,
but he can block. That's like giving an offensive guard a bunch of money because he can catch the ball.
Still not enough for you boys to refrain from calling him a rock star. Still not
enough.
He
is a rock star.
Not enough.
You're totally misunderstanding how he got that nickname.
You don't get it, Ira. We're not going to explain it to you now.
I don't think I want to get it. Rock star.
Well, on that
Paul McCartney's a rock star. Not Mark 28-52 Dominic. Come on.
All right, Ira, speaking of Rockstar, Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, who we talked about, the great July offers are in full steam. It's midway through July. Don't blow it. Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, just west of I-275 on Fletcher. Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, the only two Cadillac dealers in Hillsborough County, Ira. Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Start on their websites, edmorescadillactampa.com, edmorescadillacbrandon.com. Get your shopping search going there. Ira, I can't wait.
I'm gonna wear one of their shirts every day at training camp, and I will wash them on occasion.
And you have a nice collection, We're gonna get you more, Ira. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, thanks, of course, for Dirk Cutter. This was part five. Part five with Dirk Cutter on the podcast. More Dirk Cutter
to
come.
You've got more Dirk Cutter?
Oh, we've got very, very good Dirk Cutter to come later this month. We've got some great stuff leading into training camp. Really A-list passionate stuff from the head coach.
We're going to get some good guests during training camp, Steve. It's going to be tough to top Cutter, but we're going to get some good guests. We will.
Ira, you're the sage of Tampa Bay sports. If you want guests, you just get out your Rolodex.
Well, we almost had Rondé Barber a few weeks ago. You told me he's out there, and as soon as I get out there, you told me he just left. I figure you told him I was comedy. He got the hell out of there. Is that true?
Ira,
now, I'm
going
to be his presenter for the Hall of Fame, Steve. Are you telling me he didn't want to talk to me? We have to talk about strategy over here.
Call him up, Kaufman. Let's have some breakfast. You like food, right?
Rondé's around $1 all the time. I'm sure he'll be a training camp.
Yeah, that won't be a tough interview. All right, Ira, you know what? Glad you looked very refreshed through this July period. I must say that. Your tan is in full force. You're looking relaxed. You're still cranking out your Sage columns.
Nothing stops around here. The columns, the podcast.
The bus keeps moving, and speaking of the bus, now we're broadcasting from Abe's Place right now. We've had some fantastic food, of course. Abe's Place in Clearwater. Definitely got to check out the menu at abesplace.com. But the Training Camp Express, the bus, luxury bus from Abe's Place to training camp, Saturday, August 5th, leaves Abe's in Clearwater at 8 o'clock. Practice starts at 8:45. After practice, 15 minutes when everybody's on the bus, come back to Abe's.
After they can get a few autographs.
After autographs, exactly. And... the bus, only $5.
I don't understand how you can do it for $5.
$5 round trip.
How are you doing that?
Well, Abe's Place likes to take care of anybody associated with them, and Pure Limousines is helping out, providing the luxury bus. Great company, Pure Limousines.
And you're getting a coupon on top of that?
And when you're aboard the bus, you get a $5 off coupon for Abe's Place. So after practice, you come right here, you have lunch.
So in theory, it's a free trip.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. So, fantastic deal. We did this twice last year, Iris. It's not a new thing. We know exactly what we're doing. Smooth as silk. Everybody went on there, loved it last year. And we're doing it again.
Can people bring a cooler on the bus?
If they want to bring a cooler, they can bring a cooler on the bus. Absolutely. They can bring their own snacks.
Can they listen to one of our podcasts on the bus?
They're actually allowed to bring alcohol on the bus as well. Okay, it's a private trip from JoeBucksFan.com. We don't play these no alcohol games. Okay, come on. All right, so Training Camp Express, you got to buy your ticket in advance. It's going to sell out, no big deal there. That's Stick Carrier Day, Training Camp Takeover Day at $1, where it's going to be a wild scene. like nobody's ever seen before. Ira's going to be out
like
there.
That's like 3 weeks away. See? Yeah, a little over 3 weeks away.
Yeah, a few weeks away. Yeah. Saturday, August 5th. Plenty of time. If you're going to training camp, make it that day because why not? That's just going to be the day to be there. It's going to be one hell of an experience. Parting words, Mr. Kaufman?
I'll tell you what. The season, the training camp, it's right on us. It's really going fast, Steve. And this is the time of year when I start counting down the days of summer. And you can't wait for, October 8th, that first cool breeze. Of course, you got your AC going 24/7.
So you've got a cool breeze on the calendar? What
cool,
the hell is this?
Cool breeze, October 8th. And that's the day I take you out to the woodshed on the tennis court. We go about seven sets. You might win a couple of points. Get out of here, Isbitz.
Hey, that's my line.